Hey, this is Maya, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. It's episode 171, I think, of the podcast version of the show. Is that right? Yes, it is. It is 171, episode 171 of the show. It is Tuesday, I believe, August the 16th. I am coming to you from the mean streets of Friendswood, Texas, right now in my studio, the Brad Gilmore Show Studios. That's right. We're big enough. We have our own studio. It's true. We also have our own merchandise available at bradjgilmore.com. But hey, I am not here to hawk merchandise today. I'm not here to discuss anything aside from professional wrestling. Yes, today is going to be all wrestling, well, all wrestling and MMA episode of the Brad Gilmore Show. I want to start by talking about, I guess, the recent developments in the WWE, more so with the Crown Jewel pay-per-view. The Crown Jewel is set to go down November the 2nd, which is a couple weeks from now, November the 2nd in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. But if you are not aware, there's some issues going on with Saudi Arabia right now involving the United States and a reporter, a journalist who worked with the Washington Post, who I believe was living in Virginia, who is a reformist from Saudi Arabia. He was writing a lot of, and let me say all this, I'm not really, really well read on the situation, but I'm just going to give you what I believe to be true or what I've heard and read. So you would write a lot of things for the Washington Post that wasn't so flattering or that weren't so flattering regarding Saudi Arabia. And then now, you know, he went into Saudi Arabia's consulate in Turkey and he never came out. And in all seriousness, he went in there, I think, October the 2nd, and he hasn't been seen since. And everyone's pretty sure that he was killed at that consulate, the Saudi Arabian consulate in Turkey. The Turks are saying this. The United States is saying this. Or the United States seems to be saying this. And then as it stands right now, the Saudi Arabians, I'm doing this at 1:16 Central Time. So as it stands right now, the Saudi Arabians have been preparing some sort of document or some sort of report or statement where they're going to own up to the claims. But that still hasn't come out yet. But it looks like, you know, if we were speaking in alleged terms, allegedly it looks like the Saudi Arabian regime or the kingdom or what have you may have done this. Now, a few weeks ago on the show, I was defending WWE going to Saudi Arabia, saying sometimes you got to play the game to change the game. And then this situation occurs. A lot of people on social media were talking about WWE needing to cancel this show. I know Justin Barrasso over there at Sports Illustrated did an article saying that he talked to many of the talent over there at WWE, and a lot of them were worried and concerned about going over there now, and I understand that wholeheartedly. And I'm going to be 100% honest. I don't think there would be enough money for me to go to Saudi Arabia right now after this story breaks. You know, I would be personally timid of it before had I not known several people that traveled there with no problems. You know, Booker T, obviously, whom I know very well, was over there for the Greatest Royal Rumble. My girlfriend's Farrah's family is from that part of the world, from her father born in Saudi Arabia. So I'm aware of Saudi Arabia and a lot of people who've traveled there, and they've been okay. But after this, you would think that, you know, I would be very concerned about going to Saudi Arabia. So I understand if talent are worried. And then last night on Raw, I was watching real closely, and I noticed that not one time did they mention Saudi Arabia. Not one time, but they did mention the Crown Jewel. I was almost convinced yesterday, maybe around 3 o'clock, that they were going to just cancel this show. I was like, you know what, Survivor Series is a couple weeks from now. You can just move these shows to Survivor Series, and you'll be good to go. Now, I know WWE would have to take a hit monetarily for doing that. And I don't know what their contract with Saudi Arabia is. They might be in some legal trouble for canceling the show, but be that as it may, I felt and still feel with all the pressure right now in Saudi Arabia and the United States involvement and the president's involvement and Congress talking about getting involved, the president doesn't get involved. You know, with all that going on, I would think that you would just want to stay away from Saudi Arabia altogether until this thing blows over. Because here's the thing. We really do not know what happened. It looks very likely that Saudi Arabia had this journalist, you know, killed or killed him or is involved in his killing. But nothing's confirmed yet. And I know WWE said they're monitoring the situation. Kane, who's now an elected official in one of the main event matches on this Crown Jewel show, his office, Glenn Jacobs, Mayor Glenn Jacobs of Knox County, you know, he released a statement, said they're monitoring the situation. And that's really, I guess, all WWE can do right now, because it would really look foolish of WWE to come out and say, you know what, we're canceling the show. It's over. And then, I'm just saying, this is a hypothetical, but they just canceled the show, you know, yesterday before Raw, and then, you know, Wednesday morning or Tuesday afternoon, this journalist walks out of the consulate without a scratch on him. I'm not saying that's likely. It's very unlikely, but you have to deal in the realms of what ifs when considering making a big move like this and a big cancellation. They've invested a lot of television, a lot of money, a lot of assets into this Crown Jewel show. So I guess what I'm saying is WWE is really playing this thing as close to the vest as they can. They promoted the show all last night. They had matches going into the show all last night, but not one time did they mention, you know, King Solomon or the, you know, Saudi or Kingdom of Saudi Arabia or Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, wherever the event's taking place. They did not announce that at all, not one time. Now, I tweeted out, I'm like, is it possible that they just keep the date and the Crown Jewel name and then they just do it stateside? Is that possible? I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely, but I think that it's possible. Are they not mentioning Saudi Arabia so there's no, you know, dust-ups on social media about them promoting Saudi Arabia and the kingdom as this investigation's going on? That's probably the most likely. But I'm sure all options right now are on the table for WWE, and they have to be. All options have to be on the table. They have to consider canceling the show. And here's the thing. If they cancel it right now, and it turns out that the Saudi guy, Saudi Arabia did have something to do with the journalist's disappearance and death, then they have, you know, from a PR standpoint, they have good PR. All right, they stepped out of it. You know, they took the moral high ground. If they wait too long before, and it's well after they consider canceling the show, after it comes out that Saudi Arabia had something to do with it, they look like their hand was forced, and they're not given that credit for backing out of the show on their own volition. That's something that I'm sure they're looking at from a PR standpoint. Also, they have to also consider continuing going on with the show, because none of us know the deal that WWE signed. None of us know what's in that deal. None of us know what the ramifications are of that deal if they back out of it or if they cancel the show. Nobody knows. No one. So I'm sure their lawyers and their legal team are scanning through that document to see what outs are there from a legal standpoint. Because I'm sure WWE, if they have to cancel the show, they're going to cancel the show regardless. But they're going to look first to see if there's any legal standing they have for canceling the show without any ramifications from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And here's the other thing. It's a very large money deal. And I'm sure WWE is talking to all of their financial advisors and the Wall Street people who work for the company, and maybe Wall Street brokers, power brokers, stock brokers for the company or the company works with. I'm sure they're asking, look, what effect will this have if we move forward? What effect will it have if we cancel? Because this could be a potentially crippling move for WWE if they make the wrong move. They've worked so hard over the past, I want to say 15 years, or maybe, you know, decade to 15 years, 10 to 15 years, rehabbing their image. And they've done a very good job to where they have large, major corporate sponsors who are willing to put their name on the WWE brand. And the last thing they want to do is jeopardize that. So that's why I'm sure they're not rushing to make any sort of decision. They're staying in the background. They're watching this thing play out on TV. And I'm sure they're talking to the United States government. It's not like they don't have a connection to the Trump administration. By God, Trump's a Hall of Famer for WWE, and Vince's wife is the head of the Small Business Administration. So I'm sure they're talking to people within the government. They're talking to all kinds of different people, and they're really trying to weigh this thing out. Now, they have SmackDown 1000 tonight, which I'm going to do a show about. They have SmackDown 1000 tonight. They have Evolution coming down the pipeline. They need to really get a resolution to this, I would think, rather quickly. So, like I said, I think they have three options. I think they go and they do the show and they risk the, you know, backlash, which there will be plenty of backlash. But I think that they either go forward the show and stomach the backlash, they cancel the show and have to face whatever repercussions from Saudi Arabia that is, because that would probably be the end of their deal. At least that's what I would think. Oh, it's our second show in together. There's some heat in the news, and be it big heat in the news, but there's some heat in the news, and you back out of the deal. Yeah, we're not going to do this thing for 10 years. We're just going to wrap this thing up right now. And I could see that happening. And would that be bad for WWE? Monetarily, it would be. PR-wise, I'm not so sure. But so they either cancel the show and back out, go forward with the show, or they move the show. I don't know. They move the show stateside? I guess that's a third option. Everything's on the table for WWE. If it were me, you know, I just wouldn't want the heat personally. So I would probably cancel the show and I would try to bite the bullet and pay whatever salaries were guaranteed to Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Kane, Triple H. And, well, Triple H could probably get away with it, but Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Kane, and Brock Lesnar. Whatever salaries you guarantee them to perform at this show, because you know that's why they're on the show, is that the money makes sense. So whatever you paid them for this show, I think that, or whatever it was agreed to be paid to them, I think you just have to pay them at Survivor Series. Bite the bullet, WWE. If it comes to canceling the show, that's just what you're going to have to do. And Survivor Series is a good place to have this. You know, I don't know if they're planning on like a rematch at Survivor Series with Shawn. I don't know what happens with Shawn, but that's the other question, really, is what happens to Shawn if they cancel the show? If they do not go forward with Crown Jewel altogether, say they just 100% clean cancel, you know, I wonder what happens to Shawn, you know? I think that Shawn would probably, I don't know. Do you think that he stays? I guess now that he's made the announcement that he's coming out of retirement, you know, since he's made the announcement, he has to do it now, right? Just because Saudi Arabia falls through, he has to do it, I would think. I don't know. It's really murky waters, and we probably won't know anything till the end of this week or by this time next week. You know, or before Raw next week, because there's just so many moving parts. There's so many juggling parts. It's just very hard to say what they're going to do. It's all speculation, and that's all it's going to be until we hear something official from WWE. Now, something might come out tonight before SmackDown. It might come out after SmackDown. They might wait until next week, or they might wait until Friday to give the weekend time to die down. Now, I do know. I saw on Twitter, John Layfield, Bradshaw, JBL, he was on Fox News, and he had something to say about this whole Saudi Arabia situation. So I'm going to play this off my phone, so bear with me. But I'm going to turn the volume up, and I'm going to play this clip of Varney and Company from Fox Business Channel. Let's see, hold on. Well, let's see if I can play it first.
WWE wrestling people, they're getting ready to hold another big event in Saudi Arabia. And this is a big one coming up next month, November 2nd. Many of the stars have told Sports Illustrated that they feel uneasy about it following the disappearance of the columnist Jamal Khashoggi. Right, John is with us. He's a former WWE wrestling champion. You wouldn't know it now, but they're a champ. Here you go. It's going to take place, though, isn't it?
From what I understand, yes. The idea is that the WWE is going to go there. Right now, the official line is that they're monitoring the situation. My personal opinion is that they should go. I think the only way you promote change, look at what we did with Cuba. You isolate a country, all you do is impoverish that country. You want to promote change. WWE went to Abu Dhabi, did the first women's match that had ever happened in the Middle East. The crowd was chanting in English, "This is change." And for these senators to come out and bash the WWE on this, I've spent 7 Christmases in Iraq and Afghanistan with the WWE. I was with the WWE, the first group to go down and visit the Twin Towers while they were still burning and bodies were pulling out. We were the first group on 9/13 to have a mass gathering right after 9/11. People didn't know what was going to happen. For these guys to hide behind their patriotism and their show flag waving, to me, I think, is to try to improve their abysmal approval ratings, to me, is wrong. WWE has been at the forefront of change, and you want to change Saudi Arabia, you send something like WWE there.
I'm glad he was on the show.
Yeah.
All right, like.
Well, man, JBL was fired up in that promo and had some shots at the senators. But, you know, I think he makes some valid points. WWE has always done great things for the country and for the, you know, the troops and the Patriots. But, you know, I just don't know. It's just too sticky of a situation for me to really even be, to even give an educated opinion. That's why I said it's all speculation. And I have no idea what they're going to do. If I, like I said, yesterday before Raw, if I were to bet on it, I would bet that they canceled the show. After Raw and after all the build they did for, you know, WWE and did for, I mean, Crown Jewel, I don't think they cancel it. But like I said, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. And I don't know if they cancel it, what happens with Shawn Michaels. So anyway, let's move on, though, a little bit. Let's talk a little UFC, and then I'll go back to WWE. So we know what happened with Conor and Khabib. I think we all heard that. You saw my live reactions to it on my Twitter timeline when I posted it as last week's episode for the show, episode 170. Go listen to my Conor Khabib analysis of the immediate reaction I had. And then, you know, Booker and I did our Heated Conversations podcast and radio show, and we had a really heated talk about it. Booker and I seem to be in somewhat disagreement about the punishment that should be handed down to Khabib and to Conor. At first, I did not believe Conor was at fault. I didn't see Conor being at fault. And now after looking at the footage and seeing that he did try to initiate some combat as well, Conor McGregor, I think, is up for suspension and being fined as well. I think Khabib would levy the heavier fine and would probably get the bigger suspension. But I don't know. I don't know if they match Conor, if they give him the same thing to try to prove a point. Because here's the thing. The commissions and UFC did nothing to punish Conor McGregor, really, for his actions throwing a dolly. And I do believe that the UFC is complicit in allowing this behavior to go on and allowing this to get to the point that it has. But as of last Thursday, the Nevada State Athletic Commission suspended Conor and Khabib effective the 15th, which was yesterday, for 10 days. Now, I know a lot of people saw that and were like, that's it? 10 days? Well, they're not going to fight in 10 days. They're not going to any events in 10 days. That's some suspension. Well, I think that was a preliminary suspension. They wanted to get something out there. The commission wanted to let people know that action is being taken. And the 10-day suspension will run until the 25th of the month, which is the day after the commission's, you know, gets together the next time so that they can discuss what's going to be happening with Conor Khabib. So what that means is on the 24th, they're going to meet. They're going to have a committee. They're going to meet again. And the commission will then figure out what the official suspension is going to be. Are they going to extend that 10 days? Are they going to leave it at 10 days? What's the fine situation going to be like? And at this point, I believe that I still think it's going to be 10% of Khabib's purse and a 6-month suspension. But I did listen to Below the Belt with Brendan Schaub, and Brendan Schaub saying he's hearing a year to 18 months. Now, if that happens, if they're suspended for a year to 18 months, you have to. Now, he's saying that he hears that for Khabib. I don't know what he hears about for Conor. So if you suspend Khabib for a year and 18 months with you know, as your lightweight champion, he has to be stripped of the title. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's way too long to be out. Way too long to be out, especially for a suspension and especially for causing commotion. And like I said, the governor was there. The governor of Nevada was there. And if that happens, you have to have, you know, a pretty heavy suspension. So you strip Khabib of the title. I think Conor would probably then get, if Khabib gets 18 months or a year, I think Conor probably gets 6 months. And I think you set up a fight for the very end of that suspension for Conor versus Nate 3 for the light heavyweight championship. That's like the biggest match I think you can make in the UFC right now, especially with Khabib being suspended. I think Conor, Nate 3 for a championship, forget about it. That's the biggest match you can make. That's the biggest match you can make. Because think about it. They fought the first time at 170. Then they fought the second time at 155. Neither of which was a championship fight because neither of those weight divisions did either one of them hold the title at the time. The only championship that was held was the 145 title by Conor. So you fight Nate Diaz. And this is if Khabib gets stripped. You fight Nate Diaz for the 155 title. I would think that Conor wins that fight. I would think that he does. I would hope that he does. Because if he does, you set up the biggest fight in UFC history, Conor Khabib 2, where Conor is the champion going in, and you're kind of settling the score finally. An undisputed championship will be crowned in the rematch, Conor Khabib 2. So that's what I think happens in that situation. I don't think Conor will fight Tony Ferguson. As much as Tony would love that fight, I don't think that he does that. I don't think he fights GSP. I don't think he fights Anderson Silva. I don't think he fights Floyd Mayweather. I think he fights Nate Diaz, or he goes back down to 145. And I really don't see him doing that either. I think he's sort of in the DC of this. Like, I don't think I'm going to fight too many more times. So let me fight, you know, let me get these big paychecks. Let me get Nate Diaz. Let me get Khabib too. Let me make this money. All right. Now, he would make massive money against GSP. I just don't know if that fight ever happens because Conor doesn't seem interested in it and GSP doesn't really seem interested in it. Now, I know GSP was on Ariel Helwani's show yesterday and I didn't see it. So I don't know if he talked about it at all. I know that he mentioned that he might fight in 2019. And if he does, like, who does he fight? Does he fight Khabib? Well, if Khabib's suspended for a year, he doesn't do that maybe until the end of the year. If he's suspended for a year and 19 months, he can't fight till 2020. 2020, ooh, that sounds crazy. So I think that I don't know why they wouldn't want to fight each other. Unless it's one of those things that both of them think there's a chance of losing to the other, and then neither one of them wants that on their record. If I'm Conor McGregor, and I'm still a Conor McGregor fan, and F all the people who tweet me talking about I'm a Conor McGregor fanboy, I like Conor McGregor. I'm a fan of Conor McGregor. I don't think I'm a fanboy of anybody. Except maybe The Rock. You know, maybe them. But other than that, I'm not a fanboy of anybody. So I don't appreciate your tweets and comments. But anyway, I think that Conor needs a win and wants a win. And he knows that he's beaten Nate Diaz before, although it was a very close fight. It went the distance, and it was close. Way closer, obviously, than their first fight. But I think that Conor wants to win a match. He wants to win a fight, but he also wants to get paid. That's why I think Nate Diaz is the best thing on the table for him right now. It is the best thing for him right now. So we'll see. I think that Derek Lewis and DC is a really weird fight, although I love it, and I love Derek Lewis. We have Mike Jackson on Heated Conversations and talked to him a lot about Derek Lewis and all that, and the fight coming up. I think that Derek Lewis is the massive underdog, but he's got that right hand, man. And, you know, he was getting his butt kicked in that fight at 229, and then he just, boom, big right hand. All it took. And Fake Drago went all the way down And this was like within the closing seconds of the third round where Derrick Lewis was for sure going to lose the fight if he didn't knock him out. And he knocked him out. It was a great fight. So DC is a great fighter, undefeated at heavyweight. If I were to bet, I'd bet on DC. But Derrick Lewis, you know, I think he's a plus 800 dog right now. Put some money on Lewis. What do you have to lose? I'm going to put some money on him if I can. I don't know if it's legal in the state of Texas, but if it is, I'm going to figure out how to do it, or I'm going to call my buddies in Vegas and have them place a bet for me. Because that sounds like some good money could be made in the event that Derrick Lewis wins. And I'm not saying that he will. And like I said, I would probably say that he wouldn't win. But if anybody can do the upset, it's Derrick Lewis. And what happens if Derrick Lewis loses? I mean, wins. And DC loses. DC, does he just kiss that Brock money goodbye? Kiss John Jones for the heavyweight title goodbye? It seems to be too much of a risky thing for him. I don't know why he would take a fight on such short notice, other than the pay's probably great. And he says he's retiring in March. We'll see if that happens. But I guess he's thinking, fight Derrick Lewis in October at Madison Square Garden. Check. Big check. And a check off the bucket list, but a big check. You know, and that could leave him to fight Brock in January, maybe. I know that's when Brock's clear. Fight Brock in January. And then close out in March with John Jones. And win or lose, Daniel Cormier retiring after a third John Jones fight, I think is that's the way to go. I think that's the biggest fight. You can say it's DC's last fight. John Jones at heavyweight, so it's a new thing. We haven't seen them do it at heavyweight. And maybe it's for the championship, maybe it's not. Because here's the thing, to get through Derrick Lewis and then Brock Lesnar, think about this. Derrick Lewis and Brock Lesnar have a lot in common. Big and powerful. You don't want to get hit by him. Because Brock, here's the thing, you don't want to get hit by Brock Lesnar. He beat Heath Herring up so bad, Heath Herring never came back to the sport. Ever. So he knocked, you know, Randy Couture around that octagon. So, you don't want to get hit by Brock. You definitely don't want to get hit by Derrick Lewis. They're both big. They're both strong. They're both powerful. But then, take all the freak athleteness of Derrick Lewis. Take all that. And then add conditioning and championship wrestling ability. And then you get Brock Lesnar. And to go against the Black Beast and then to go against the Beast back-to-back for DC, I don't know. I don't like his odds of retaining the championship against Brock. And I know that that's kind of crazy to say because DC's undefeated at heavyweight and he's such a good wrestler. But Brock's a good wrestler too. And Brock's big and he's quick and he's fast and he's powerful. Yeah, he might be a little bit older, but so is DC. We saw what he did in that fight against the Super Samoan Mark Hunt. Now, yeah, he might have tested positive for something. He still looked great. Brock always looked great in his fights, even, you know, maybe not the Overeem days and Kane. But then again, the guy had diverticulitis that was slowing him down. He had diverticulitis when he beat up Heath Herring and Randy Couture and Shane Carwin and who else did he fight? I can't think of all of Brock's fights for some reason right now. Frank Mir. Frank Mir fight was so good. Frank Mir fight was so good. Brock is such a great, great fighter. And when I say great fighter, I don't mean from a technical aspect. I guess I should say he's a great athlete. And he's an impressive fighter. That's probably the better way of saying it. He's a great athlete and he's an impressive fighter. To where he has so much natural ability and he has so much sheer strength that he can find himself on the winning end of most fights. So that's kind of where I am, UFC talk. That's my UFC talk for the day. But let me see. What else do I want to talk about? I'm going to talk about Rockets, and I'm going to talk about SmackDown on tomorrow's show. The Bella Twins are amazing, and I love the Bella Twins, and they are spitting facts last night. I love their promo with Ronda Rousey. That was such a great exchange. And then I saw idiots on Twitter talking about how, they're slut-shaming. What great storytelling by WWE. What's funny is people are triggered by the dumbest things. And instead of saying, wow, a great promo was just told between Ronda and Nikki, a great story was told between Ronda and Nikki, both sides presented truth. Ronda took some low blows saying John Cena threw you out of his door or threw you out of his bedroom. But how is that? Maybe that's technically slut-shaming. I don't know the definition of the term, but that's not how I perceive it. I perceive that as smack-talking, kind of like Conor McGregor style. And it came from Ronda Rousey, which was her best promo she's ever cut. So instead of saying, wow, here's Ronda Rousey's best promo ever, the Bellas were out there doing great and spitting facts, right? Talking about how the audience they brought in to the WWE. There's a great verbal battle between the two of them. I think the fans won that just because we got to see it. It made me invested in their match at Evolution. And it's Ronda's best promo ever. So instead of saying all of that, like positive, some idiot out here, he's a writer. I think he writes for WrestleZone. And you know, when I say idiot, I just mean that it comes from upbringing. Your parents are probably idiots too. But in all seriousness, I don't mean it. I don't know the person personally, so I'm sure he's a smart individual. But it was an idiotic tweet. The tweet was dumb. And he was like, the evolution of WWE storytelling for women. So you're saying the women... What are you saying? How should women tell a story? So now you're telling women how to tell a story. You don't think that Nikki Bella and Ronda went over that? You don't think that they had their hand in how that promo was crafted and what story that they wanted to tell? Because they are the two biggest stars in the women's division. Yeah, I waited for you to yell through your headsets or tweet me at Brad Gilmore and say that I'm wrong. They're the two biggest stars in the women's division. They're the two biggest. Who's bigger? Not who are you a bigger fan of. Not whose wrestling do you like more. Not do you think has a better work rate. Not who you think you like to cheer for when they come on Raw and SmackDown. Who are bigger stars on that women's roster than Nikki Bella and Ronda Rousey? I'll wait. That's what I thought. So you don't think that they had a hand in how that story was told? Because I sure as hell think that they did. So how should women... Tell me, brother man, I forgot your name. Hold on, I'm going to find his Twitter. Tell me, how should they? How should they tell a story? How should women tell a story? So you're saying that they can't talk smack to each other like the men do. Okay. So you're saying... That's not what you're saying. I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm trying to find this guy's tweet. I can't find it. Here it is. Ross Berman. It looks like he may have deleted the tweet. Oh, he blocked me. Ross W. Berman IV blocked me on Twitter. So even better. So the guy got called out on his ideas. And I said, what are you talking about? They're trash talking to promote a match. You know, like wrestlers have always done. Judging by tweets, most people enjoyed the back and forth. I didn't even insult his intelligence. And a bunch of people liked my tweet. But this idiot had to block me. At Ross W. Berman, that's BERMANIV, you know, for the fourth, I guess. Or maybe he likes WrestleMania 4. I don't know. Or maybe, you know, IV is, you know, maybe that's the league of school that he was educated at. I don't know. But he blocked me. He definitely blocked me. What's funny is I have multiple accounts. I don't have burner accounts, but I can go tweet him from somewhere else asking him why he blocked me. Is that petty? That is petty. I'm not going to do that. So anyway, go tweet him and ask him why he thought that. Because that's not slut-shaming at all. That was two women building a story and getting people interested in their promo. And guess what? TMZ was covering it. Nikki and Ronda going back and forth on social media. Ronda Rousey was trending last night. I think that it worked, Ross. Don't be stupid. Don't be dumb. That's the thing about these people on Twitter, man. You can't call them out. You can't call them out or they block you. Now, I block people all the time. But I block people when they say something offensive or they say something stupid to me. But that was just a point. That was a point-counterpoint argument that he ran away from. And that's too bad. I engage people on social media all the time. At Brett Gilmore. You can tweet me. your opinions. I'm sure a lot of people don't agree with me, and that's fine. I am up for also for being wrong. I could be completely wrong at everything that I said on this podcast, and I am totally game for being wrong. Because I'm you know, if if I listen to my girlfriend, I'm wrong a lot. So tweet me at Brad Gilmore. Let me know what you think. Was it slut shaming for Nikki and Ronda? Should WWE cancel the Saudi Arabia show? Is DC taking too much on his plate? And would Conor and Nate 3 for the lightweight championship be the biggest fight in UFC history? Tweet me at Brad Gilmore. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more about the news in wrestling and MMA, SmackDown 1000, and some NBA talk. I'll see you tomorrow.